Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Mom, can you tell me a story?
Sure. Once upon a time, a mom needed a new car.
Was she brave?
She was tired, mostly. But she went to Carvana.com and found a great car at a great price. No secret treasure map required.
Did she have to fight a dragon?
Nope. She bought it 100% online. From her bed, actually.
Was it scary?
Honey, it was as unscary as car buying could be.
Did the car have a sunroof?
It did, actually.
Okay, good story.
Car buying you'll want to tell stories about. Buy your car today on
Carvana.
Delivery fees may apply.
And a good Monday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Man, good weather here in Middle Tennessee. Not sure what's in store for us this week. Could be a couple hurricanes out there that may affect our weather at some point this week, but we will find out a little bit later. Darren McFarland here down here in Rutherford County in Smyrna. Willie Donick is over in East Nashville. Chase McCabe back on the show out on the west side in Bellevue. And speaking of back on the show, Elijah Campbell back at our Wholesale Link Game Studios powered by RumbleOn.com. Gentlemen, what's up?
Man, just living the dream. Hello, here, Aaron. On a Monday. Yeah. Oh, there's Willie.
Yeah.
I always think I have the delay right, and then I'm just totally off. So it just doesn't work. But I know that problem's getting fixed today, so that'll be good.
I was going to say, maybe that's going to be
yes,
fixed.
Please.
Today. Yeah, I'll do a little upgrade at the Donick house.
Yeah, it's good.
It's long overdue.
Yeah?
6 months overdue? Something like that?
Maybe more.
So this was the push for you guys. This is something that's been a topic, a discussion piece, or at least a thought, but finally it has come to a head. Quarantine has done it. Working from home has done it. Has pushed it, has tipped the scales for you to upgrade your Wi-Fi. Right? Get a little bit more, juice in the Donick household. Fair to say?
There will be more juice if all goes according to plan, and we know how that goes, right? Does the person come when they're supposed to come? Do they come late? Do they come early? So until it's done, it's not done.
They will be there sometime today between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., I'm sure, is your window.
That's usually how it works.
Pretty much, pretty much. And I think what we've come to learn over time, and this has been many a subject on You Just Made the List, or This Is What I Know, or Don't Be That Guy. I mean, that person comes up a lot in those things, right? That is what we know, that the person that's come is supposed to come fix your cable or fix your Wi-Fi, they get on the list a lot. And I understand that they have a lot of jobs and they go and the schedule gets off, but whoever came up with that system of we'll be in there in that time window, I don't know. That system has never worked.
Hopefully they're not around. But
we're hoping
anymore
for the best today.
Like, you know, that they have been shown the door since then, since that awful decision, you know? So that's what I'm hoping for, that person is long gone, because that was a horrible, horrible decision on their part. In my opinion, and a lot of people's
but
opinion.
So far, I've been getting the text. Where you're on the schedule. We'll text you the status, all these things. So there's some encouraging signs so far. So far, so good. So I'll keep you guys updated.
So far, so good. Guys, I had my first fantasy football draft this past weekend.
Oh.
It's in the books.
That's normalcy. That is some normalcy right there.
Yeah, it was. It's different. But it was still good. It was good to have, yes, that's a good word. Still, like I said, it was different. It's different, I mean, altogether. You guys know I've been doing this league for, I don't know, 6-7 years up in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and I've watched it grow from about 60 teams when I probably jumped in for the first time to over 180 teams now. And it just keeps, you know, it's kind of like Brent Peterson's dinner, right? It just keeps growing out of space, so they have to keep upgrading to bigger places, bigger and bigger in bigger places just because they outgrow the old space. And, of course, this year, with the circumstances, they wanted to have even more space to really spread things out. But overall, I thought it was done well. There was hand sanitizer on every table. Everybody, for the most part, tried to wear their mask, I think, as the day went on. Look, I'll be first one to admit, and I was talking this weekend to some people. It was the longest I had had a mask. I mean, I wore it, I don't know, four-plus hours straight. That was the most I had worn. I know people, you know, you respect a little bit more people.
It took that long?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's two breaks. There's 20 rounds, and there's two breaks. They've got a massive auction table. I mean, massive auction table. So every break, they allow you to get up one, go stretch your legs. Buffalo Trace was there keeping everybody hydrated. They've got where you can get drinks.
Ooh, that's always good.
Buffalo Trace and Weller, free.
Oh.
Yeah, all day. Yeah, how about that?
Did they have the Weller last year? I remember Buffalo Trace.
No, I don't remember. No, I don't remember that. I could be wrong, but I don't remember it being there. But they had it this year. And so there's, like I said, a lot of auction items that people go bid on auction items. And so, yeah, it takes way longer than your normal draft. And everybody's in person, too, right? So
yeah.
It's a little bit longer. They had the Western Kentucky dance team there, and they do that every year. It's the cheerleaders and the dance team from Western Kentucky, and those girls help out doing it old style. Like, you call out the name, and they literally have to go find the sticker and put it up on the board. So, I mean, it's a longer process than just clicking a name on your computer in a draft room and moving on. So, yeah, it was a long day. I mean, I had my mask on somewhere between 4 and 5 hours straight. I didn't take it off. Others did. I think they had mask fatigue at some point, I noticed, or they would slide it down or whatever. I kept it on. That's the most I've ever had it on for in any setting, and it just makes you respect the people that have to go to work and have to wear that all the time and know that they do that on a daily basis because, you know, it's just not something we're used to, right? Maybe you do if you have to do it a lot more, but overall, that was well done. It was a lot of fun, and I've got the first fantasy football draft out of the way. Pick number 4.
Oh, nice.
Guys,
who'd you
have
take?
Any idea who I took it for? It's a PPR league. Who'd you take it for?
Alvin Kamara?
Kamara.
That's a good guess.
McCaffrey or Barkley went 1, which was a surprise. McCaffrey went 1 in most all of the draft rooms. McCaffrey and Barkley and Ezekiel Elliott were the first 3.
Yeah, so I agree with Elijah.
Yeah.
Kamara.
Took Kamara. Hopefully he has a nice bounce
back. Elijah all over it.
Yeah.
1 for 1 today.
Yeah. And then Dalvin Cook went 5. And Dalvin Cook I really like. It's
so
just
all
a
about
of
the running
stay
backs.
Healthy. Well, not really. It's PPR. But those running backs catch the ball, right? And so they are valuable, extremely valuable, especially a guy like McCaffrey. Watch, like I said, I don't understand why most every draft board had McCaffrey 1 or for whatever reason. The guy bid you have to bid on your draft slot, and he bid a lot of money and took Barkley. And we all just kind of went, oh, like, you just expected him to take McCaffrey because if you're going to pay a lot for the number 1 pick, you expect him to take McCaffrey. But he took Barkley,
Didn't you have the number 1 pick last year when I went with you?
I did, and I had Barkley. I took
That's
Barkley.
Right. That's
but
right.
Last year was a little, you know, a little bit different feelings about Barkley and McCaffrey. McCaffrey went 2.
Yeah.
But, you know, to me, like, it was McCaffrey was the runaway number 1.
Oh, absolutely.
Where did Derrick Henry go?
Derrick Henry went 10th.
Okay. So he was a first round.
So even in a PPR league, he still goes in the first round. I'm curious because even as late as last year, I think there was still some question on is he a star, is he a featured guy, all of that, because he had not had the full season of dominance.
He went 10th.
Who is the first rookie to go?
That would be 7th overall. Just a little too – I mean, he may end up being the real deal, but
I could not pull the trigger on a rookie with the seventh pick, but he went high in every draft, so it's not like it's a stretch, but Clyde Edwards-Helaire in Kansas City went seventh overall.
Ooh. Really?
Wow.
I don't know about that.
That shocks me. I don't know.
He's going high in every draft.
Apparently ESPN has him as like a top eight fantasy player this year coming into the season.
Well, that would make sense because he just went seventh on Saturday. Yeah, that was a little too much for me. I wouldn't have done that.
With the lack of practices? No preseason games?
You know, with the running back, though, does that really matter, though, for a running back?
A guy that's in our league, Darren, just texted us about Derrick Henry taking him in the fourth round last year.
Yeah, well, Derrick Henry's viewed differently this year than last
year. Sure, absolutely.
When you're the leading rusher in the NFL. I mean, he won't go fourth round in my league this year.
No, no doubt.
I don't know if he'll go 10th overall. He may.
I could see somebody jumping on him in the first round in our group.
Well, our group is not a PPR league, so that should even raise the stock a little bit more.
Yep.
But the Chiefs guy, that still shocks me with all of the uncertainty, and you take a rookie, that is amazing. I don't know if I've ever seen a rookie go that high. Have you?
Yeah, rookies go. I mean, I don't know about seventh, but rookies have gone first round. You haven't been looking at too many mocks, have you, or any?
No. No, I have not. But
it wouldn't surprise you, because if you're looking at mocks.
Where did Barkley – did Saquon Barkley go hands down first round his rookie year? He probably did, right?
Yes, he did. Mm-hmm.
But that was on a team that was desperate. You knew he was going to get the ball. The Chiefs, they don't, you know, they got plenty of places to go with the ball.
Yeah, Barkley's a great example, a recent example of it. That's a guy who went first round right out of the gates.
And you said, so you picked fourth, so you said fifth was Dalvin Cook?
Yep.
And then probably Michael Thomas.
Michael Thomas went eighth, and I was surprised by that.
Really?
Like, I was like, man, if you have the eighth pick in a PPR league and you get Michael Thomas, you should be really excited. Like, that's a really good pick.
So who are sixth and seventh then?
Well, Edwards-Helaire was seven, and Josh Jacobs was six.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I
had the tough choice because Kelsey went the pick before me in the second round, and I was like, "Do I just take Kittle and be done with it?" And I
That's
took
your
God.
Boy.
I know I took Godwin instead of Kittle, and I don't know if I have buyer's remorse, but I had Godwin last year, and he was so good. But I don't know, you know, if he'll be able to duplicate that or not. I probably have a little
Brady
bit of buyer's remorse.
Because Brady's
I was thinking, yeah, I think so. But I wanted to take Kittle there, and he went like right at like two picks later. And I knew that. I knew I wasn't gonna get him on the way back, but I took Godwin instead of Kittle. Just because in a PPR league, you know, receivers are just a little bit more valuable.
Yeah. Well, this is fascinating because I'm curious of just where did Gronk go?
He went
figured it'd be later, but
no, well, it wasn't that late. I want to say I look at this board. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I
it's understand. Somewhere probably in the middle.
Okay.
There's 20 rounds, like I said, it was probably ninth, 10th round somewhere in there.
Okay.
I got Corey Davis in the 20th round.
Oh, wow.
That was my last pick.
Wow. Who's your QB?
Patrick Mahomes went with the first pick in the third round, and I came back with this quarterback. So I took the second quarterback in the whole draft after Mahomes went one.
Lamar?
Yep. I pulled the trigger on Lamar Jackson. I just figured, man, with
PPR league.
PPR, with what he does, you know, I got to take him.
Yeah.
So I did.
Okay. Well, not bad. Not bad.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. But one in the books. looking forward to a couple more, and hopefully looking forward to a season. That's the plan.
That's the big thing.
Let's hope that there's not a lot of Isaiah Wilson decisions going on out there around the league. But with that being said, that's a good segue to say we'll come back and we'll talk with TD. Teron Davenport in the on-deck circle. We'll talk to him next on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Speaking with Teron Davenport now, NFL Nation reporter for ESPN, ESPN.com, covering the Titans. Also talking with TD is his podcast. You should check it out every week, and you can hear it on these airwaves on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Monday morning, Teron Davenport is with us. TD, what's up?
Hey, what's going on?
What did you learn this weekend from the Titans? What was your takeaway?
What did I learn? I don't think I really learned anything. I just got to continue to observe. I could say I learned something. Christian Fulton is a guy they really seem to trust a lot more than I initially thought they would. It kind of reminds me of Amani Hooker last year, and that they were so willing to give him such a more involved role as a rookie than typically expected. So if you want to say something I learned, I could probably say that.
A guy that they're willing to trust from the get-go, or do you think it's going to take time?
From the get-go. I think really it's just something that was acquired throughout the process of the virtual virtual meetings that they have. Mm-hmm. That's something I think that he really showed and proved himself, you know, coming up to the time where it's time to go on the field, and you're starting to see some results now.
What about a guy like Trevor Siemian? They bring in a veteran backup quarterback. They get rid of Cole McDonald. So you've got Logan Woodside with no experience, Trevor Siemian with a reasonable amount of experience as a starter in this league. How do you think he's progressing early on in Titans camp?
Yeah, Siemian has come along, because one of the things that obviously as a new quarterback, you're trying to acclimate, you know, get acclimated to a new offense. But fortunately for him, and this is something that I talked about on talking with TD last week, the good thing for him is that they have a similar scheme to what he ran with the Broncos under Gary Kubiak. So there is somewhat carryover. The terminology obviously is different, but the concepts are very similar. So that definitely helps when it comes to learning. The thing that impressed me about Siemian is that first practice he was out there, I saw him make a couple checks. Now, granted, one of the checks ended up being a disaster. The defense blew the play up. But just to have that confidence to go out there and make those checks that quickly, I thought that was really telling. And it's probably better for them that they have a guy with experience, you know, backing up Tannehill just in case something should happen. You don't have as much of the question mark as you would with Logan Woodside, who, as you know, I've said all offseason, you know, was going to be the backup, because that's what we were getting from Coach Vrabel and from John Robinson.
Yeah. It is interesting how that thing changed in a hurry. Speaking of something I just thought of, isn't this Friday the debut? You got something you're debuting this week? Is this week the week you bring out your co-host this season?
Yeah, it's coming out Friday night. We're going to have the Nate and TD show. Nate Washington and I are going to make it happen, give you an hour of power, you know, talking a little shop, man. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a fun show. And then I also have something else going on talking with TD. We're going to have a segment going, not with Nate Washington. I'll go ahead and announce that on the show with that segment, but that's going to be during the season too. So we have some good things going on.
All right. So this Friday, check that out. Friday starting at what time?
I believe it's going to be 7 o'clock.
Okay.
We're working out the final details, but
okay.
I will just say Friday night for now.
Okay, when we get the final details, we'll certainly pass that along. What do you think Nate Washington would say about Khalif Raymond?
Oh, he would appreciate his routes. Actually, we've talked about that, and that's something that Khalif Raymond is definitely showing. I like to post those low red zone 7-on-7 periods and even 1-on-1 And especially one-on-ones, you really see his route definition and his ability to just, you know, get in and out of the breaks and sell a route in that shorter, condensed space. And that's something that Nate and I talk about, and he really appreciates that from Khalif Raymond. So that's the feedback that he would give you.
6 o'clock Friday, guys, for
six
Nate
o'clock.
And TD.
All right, yep. 6 to 7. There you go.
There
just like
is.
That. Finalized.
6 to 7, then 7 PM, you know what else is playing.
Talking with TD.
Look at that. 2 hours.
Two hours of me.
I know. I like it. Teron Davenport is with us from ESPN, talking all things Titans with him. Enjoyed watching that practice on Friday. Since I filled in for Jared, I was able to go to a practice during the day. I thought it was cool, TD, how they made it as game-like as they possibly could with the crowd noise and the PA announcer. Do you expect more things like that? How important is it for Mike Vrabel to get his guys acclimated to what it's going to be like in a very unique season?
Yeah, I think you'll see a few more, or maybe one or two more practices like that. And it is important because guys are creatures of habit, you know. And one of the things that a lot of people overlook about football players specifically is when you're done playing, like sometimes things can unravel a bit because that schedule that you have, that regimen is what keeps you in order, right? So guys are always striving to find that schedule, that regimen. And one way to do that is to have these practices where they are able to go over to the stadium and just get used to how the pre-game situation evolves and just how everything works from that way, because everything to the almost minute is scripted, you know, and that's something that guys really appreciate and they need. So that's definitely important. And then also just to get used to just being, you know, in the stadium or playing in the stadium, there's differences as far as, you know, how things look, obviously, and just how things play out. So it'll be big for them.
I ask this because, and I know fans are, you know, they wish they could be there and seeing some of the things that we do, but you're so, I say, hands-on because you see things a little differently. You played the game. You like to be able to watch things up close. So how, and I know that you've been able to be on the field some for practice and see it that way, but how has this adjustment been for you as you do your job and your unique style of reporting?
Yeah, it's a lot more difficult because you're not getting that one-on-one time with the guys. And then also you always have to keep your distance. Like I like to kind of not get into the drills, but like get closer to the drills and listen to the back and forth that they're having. That's always good to, you know, pick up some of the coaching points that they're giving out. And that's something that is obviously different this year. But I will say, better than most teams, the Titans, and, you know, I tip my cap to the whole staff, Robbie and, you know, Kim Smith and everybody, man, Dwight, Puff, they all have done an excellent job of making sure that, you know, we still get players, right, and we still get suitable access. So I definitely appreciate that.
So obviously reports come out over the weekend. Isaiah Wilson left the bubble, went to a party. Mike Vrabel did bring it up yesterday. He said they've talked to him. It's been addressed. It's been handled. Going to be an internal thing, but a lesson for a young player of in a time where things aren't normal, and I know it's his rookie year, but have to be careful.
Yeah, you definitely have to be careful. You have to think about how it's bigger than just you, and that's what Coach Vrabel emphasized yesterday when he was asked about it. It's bigger than just the individual, right? It goes to your teammate and then the rest of the people in the organization and your teammates' family. So it extends. Like, that web is very extensive, and you have to respect that and understand that. And I think, you know, it's going to be a lesson learned for Isaiah Wilson, and obviously it was poor judgment. He's a young kid. That doesn't excuse it, but, you know, you have to learn to think more down the line for your actions, and that's something that it just comes with time. And you know, hopefully for his sake, he gets that right now.
Talking to Teron Davenport about the Titans here. You were just talking about Khalif Raymond. I think we're all becoming huge fans of his. And if he can take it to another level and be more than just a deep threat and a guy that can add some of those short and intermediate routes, that's a great sign. How would you look at the rest of the wide receiver depth chart? But below, let's say that right now we have Raymond as that fourth guy, that wild card that can get down the field. If we know that you've got Humphreys, you've obviously got AJ, and you've got Corey Davis, what does it look like below those guys? And I'm specifically wondering about the role that has been vacated by Tajae Sharpe.
Yeah, and that's something that I've said a few times that I think Christian Wilkerson will work into. But I have to say this, Cody Hollister has really impressed me over the last couple of days, especially yesterday. And one of the things that is always good to see is when a player identifies something that he has to improve, improves it, and it shows on the football field. And he's become a better route runner. You know, he's a taller guy, 6'3", 6'4", somewhere along those lines. And it's naturally harder for him to get in and out of his breaks. But I tell you what, man, they did one-on-ones, you know, from like the 10-yard line in, and he had a couple really nice routes and some nice catches along the boundary, you know, that ended up being, in my opinion, the highlight of the one-on-one period. So I think he's the guy that could step in and be that guy. You also have Nick Westbrook Ikhinne from Indiana, and he's an undrafted free agent, very big kid, and he's someone else that has kind of stepped up, made some plays. And Krishan Hogan, I believe that's how you pronounce his name, out of Stanford, he's another one that has come in. So they have, you know, a couple options there size-wise. Christian Wilkerson has kind of cooled off over the last two practices, but, I mean, he's still a kid that I think will be in the mix. But I just really can't wait to see how that whole situation evolves. But I think it's going to be among those three guys to fill that Tajae Sharpe role. Obviously, Hollister is going to have the advantage because he was here last year and he has another year under his belt. He's a bit bigger than Wilkerson, so we'll see how it works out.
Darrington Evans was under the microscope because he got off to a bad start. He had a couple fumbles early. A lot of people fixated on that. How has he responded since that happened?
Yeah, I mean, that was just something that it happens in practice from time to time. And he shook it off, right? And that's one of the things when he was asked about it, you know, he just said that it's something that you got to work through. And obviously Mike Vrabel was happy about it. Darrington Evans was off yesterday, but he's a guy that, you know, he got the carries during practice. He's getting a good workload and he's fine. I don't think it's an issue that he's keeping with him. I mean, you can't carry a bad play to the next play, let alone a bad play to the next day. So I think he understands that.
Teron, I was watching Hard Knocks and they had action. It was great. It was a lower round draft pick. He was a linebacker. I don't remember his name, but they had a feature on him and he was trying to, during a drill, make sure he was doing all the right things, lining up correctly, picking up the person he's supposed to pick up, making the right read on the play. I'm curious with Evans, how well he's picking up some of those things that are so important with the blitz pickups, when you're supposed to do this or that, those little things that can get you on the field and allow you to showcase, you know, what you bring to the table as a player.
Yeah, that's a good question. That's something I actually wanted to go over with Arthur Smith, the OC, when he's on later today. But it seems like I haven't really seen any hang-ups, but there haven't really been a real focus on that. So it's hard for me to say how he's picking it up. That's exactly why I wanted to ask about it. So we're definitely on the same page there. And, I mean, that's one way that you get that trust of the coaching staff to protect that investment. You know, on third downs, you have to be able to block. And when I say that investment, I'm talking about your $100 million quarterback, Ryan Tannehill.
Mm-hmm. Last one for me, Teron. There's certainly some different personnel in the secondary, a lot of personnel that they feel really good about. But there's that role definition that I think they've been really good at utilizing the past couple of years, figuring out what guys can do well, what they need to maybe be protected from some. How is that role definition coming along, especially with guys like Jonathan Joseph being mixed in there?
Yeah, I think it's coming along really well. And that's one of the things about Christian Fulton that I'm liking. You're seeing him match up with Adam Humphreys and, you know, it's a pretty good back and forth, which is really good because, you know, Adam Humphreys is among the better slot receivers, you know, when it comes to route running in the league. So that's a good thing for Fulton to get practice there. Joseph is rotating in. Dory Jackson, I like what they're doing also just as far as in one-on-ones. They're making sure that Dory Jackson and Malcolm Butler get reps against Corey Davis and A.J. Brown. So they're matching them up that way too. So it's really good. And Kareem Moore is making a little bit of a mark as well. He had an interception a couple of days ago, and then he had a solid period, one of the standouts in one-on-ones yesterday. So they're doing a good job with the cornerbacks getting everything defined. I really like how they're rotating Amani Hooker in there and getting him looks in single high and in the box. Dan Cruikshank was off yesterday, but they're getting him looks too. So they're doing a really good job of not just featuring Kenny Vaccaro and Kevin Byard. Sorry about that. It was a wasp flying near me, so I lost my train of thought. But there,
watch out for that.
I'm allergic, so you know what I mean.
Me too. I know what exactly.
That'll get
what
your
you
attention.
Mean.
So, yeah, I mean, between those two guys, you know, those guys are the obvious ones, but they're doing a good job of featuring other guys as well.
As we wrap this up, how do you think that discussion went behind closed doors with Isaiah Wilson?
I think it was very firm. I think it was, one that said we're not playing these games, and I think it was appropriate. That's the type of conversation that was needed, because you can't have this stuff. And I think Mike Vrabel really made sure and reiterated the culture there about the team and how it's bigger than just one person. So I think that's how it went.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Good stuff as always. Enjoy practice, and we'll talk to you soon. You have a great week.
I appreciate it. You guys take it easy.
2-hour window on Friday starting at 6 o'clock. Terron Davenport and former Titans wide receiver and Steelers wide receiver Nate Washington from 6 to 7, and then talking with TD from 7 until 8 o'clock. So 2 hours on Friday night right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Good football discussion. We'll come back. Predators have some news. Titans have some news. There's actually a lot of news. We'll get into that on the other side. Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Coming up at 11 o'clock to start the second hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Monday morning, Eric Moses, who's been named the new president out at the Nashville Super Speedway. We are very excited to talk with him coming up at 11 o'clock and tell you about the significance of this hire. And, gosh, we're going to be talking about a cup race coming to Nashville next June. It's pretty cool.
We're 10 months away
from a cup race returning to Nashville since the 80s. So it's been that long. So we're going to talk to Eric Moses coming up at 11 o'clock. Like I said, new track president out at the Nashville Super Speedway in Gladeville. Also wanted to pass along that the Predators have loaned Eli Tolvanen to the KHL League. I guess a team that's in Finland. And he will be on loan to them until the start of training camp this upcoming season. What do you guys make of that?
Well, you know, I think it's always good to play. And I'm told, and, it was interesting. I don't think we had any inkling that this was coming from the postseason press conferences or anything. I've been told, I just was trying to behind the scenes get some quick reaction from some people that I know in the organization. And I'm told that this had the endorsement of the team, that the team encouraged him to do this. What is the first thing? I'm just going to ask you guys, we haven't talked about this, right? This just happened while we were in the middle of our interview with Terron. What's the first reaction you have sometimes as a Predator fan when you have a person going to the KHL?
There's some.
Do I even need to ask?
Yeah, I think about a certain player that is now with the Dallas Stars, and I get the sweats. So I get nervous about that. I'm all for him playing. Like, I think that that's going to be beneficial for him. The thing that I worry about is just the difference in the ice, that it's a larger rink, and he's been here in North America for a couple of years now. That was a big transition for him. I'm hoping that he's learned a lot and he's more mature and he'll adapt back to the North American ice quicker. But that's my only concern with this. But there are people within the organization that's smarter than I am, and if they've endorsed it and think that it's a good idea, then I'll trust their judgment on it.
If I'm being totally honest, that was my first thought too. Exactly what you just said. Just to kind of relate it more to home, this has been such an oddball year in the fall. Typically, if we had seasons, spring and fall for baseball, we would be starting kid pitch. But because of all that's happened, what they've done is this, it's just going to end up being one long season, and you have, you know, you can do whatever you want, but we have the ability just to stay in coach pitch until the end of this fall season, which would be October 31st. Then everybody will change in the spring. But there's been this, like, mad dash, you know, for these final 2 months for all these coaches to jump into kid pitch to, like, get this head start. And I'm like, why are you doing that? And what I've seen them do is they go do that, and then what am I seeing afterwards? Then all of a sudden I'm seeing them sign up for coach pitch tournaments.
Yeah, they want to go
it's
back.
Like, right, they want to go back. So it's like, so what are you doing? Like, you're, it's more confusing. Like, why would you dabble in both? Like, that you're talking about messing up your kids. Like, in my opinion, I don't understand why you would do that. And this is the same thing. That's the reason I bring that up, is because I don't understand. I get it, playing time, that's great. Get out on the ice, cardio, all that stuff. But familiarity, just get things going again. But you're on a different playing surface, and that's what we talked about. You know, whether it was the international ice and the bigger ice and all the success that he had, but then trying to adjust to the North American game and the smaller sheet of ice, and that's what they've been trying to do. And so why go back to that big, wide-open ice and, you know, get reacclimated to something that you've moved on past? Like, if I'm being totally honest, that was the first thought in my head, is why go back to a sheet of ice that you're not going to be playing on?
Yeah, and I mean,
I think it's a trade-off. I think that's the trade-off, is you get to play. They're just starting a season. We don't know when the AHL will be able to resume next season. It's probably going to be very late, right? The release says that basically he's going to play until the training camp for the Predators starts. On that day, he will be back for the start of training camp. I think that would be my only concern, and you guys brought it up, that they've worked very hard with him to break some of the habits that you can form when you're playing in a different set of rules, right? It's a bigger ice sheet, as you guys said, all the things you guys defined. And he obviously cooked and dominated that league at a very, very young age. So he's going to have to, you know, switch back when it comes. But I guess, you know, not playing for all these months, I can see an upside in just playing games against really good competition, probably the next most talented league in the world, next to the NHL. So there's a little give and take there. So it's an interesting move. I don't know who initiated the move, but again, I'm told the Predators were supportive of that. And I guess if he didn't make the team for the Predators, he theoretically, if the AHL wasn't playing, I guess he could go back and have a place to play there. I don't know all the answers right now, but it's a pretty intriguing story that's come down.
So let me ask this. The KHL ice, is that the same as what they use in the Olympics or the World Championships?
Yeah, it's the same. Right. It's international ice. That's the big ice.
Right, right, right. Okay, so, I mean, I guess you can look at it like that of, you know, of a player, because you all the time you have players that will go after they're in a normal season, they'll go play in the World Championships or, of course, we know the Olympics. So the hope is that he does that for a little bit, and it's just – it's the same thing of when a player goes and plays in an international competition and they just have to revert back. So you hope that he's been here long enough that he can do that with ease.
Mike Vrabel, we brought up the Isaiah Wilson story that hit over the weekend, and Mike Vrabel touched on it on one of his Zoom calls, and this is what the head coach had to say.
Yeah, Mike, when you have a situation like Isaiah, you know, going to this party at TSU, does that trigger any sort of extra precautions or testing with a guy like that? And then what is your reaction to him making that decision?
You know, I think we've handled it, and I've talked to Zay and the team. You know, I've talked to him privately and continue to talk to the team and stress the importance of the decisions that we make, you know, outside the building as it relates to the people that were around because of COVID. But long before that, we've stressed to them about their behavior outside the building since I've been here. You know, that's something that's important to this organization, to Amy and to John and I. So again, we have to learn from it, continue to stress the importance that you're not only talking about yourself in this case with the pandemic, but you're talking about other players and their families as well.
There you go. Mike Vrabel talking about Isaiah Wilson, who was at a party on TSU's campus, evidently when the police came, thought about jumping over a balcony, thought better of it and did not. As I said this morning on Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad, I hope this is not the start of bad decisions by Isaiah Wilson moving forward. This is a horrible decision on his part. I don't know why we keep having these stories come up. I don't understand why he would not understand the gravity of this, and you can't do this. This is not a normal year, and you can't do this, and they're not in a bubble. I don't understand it. If he was an undrafted guy, today's story would be Titans cut Isaiah, undrafted free agent Isaiah Wilson. And we would say, oh, I didn't know much about him, but yeah, that was a stupid move. And he's gone, because that's what he would be, cut, if he was undrafted. He's a first-round pick, so he's going to get a long leash, and he's going to get a second chance. And hopefully he can learn from this, because I hope this is not a pattern of bad decisions by Isaiah Wilson moving forward.
Boy, you really hope not. I mean, that would be really, really bad. I'm guessing that there had to be. Now, he was on the COVID list, right? And that has not been confirmed that he actually had the virus at some point, but it would lead you to believe that there's certainly a chance that he did. Maybe the thinking was, well, I've already had the virus, I'm not at risk. But I guess the lesson to be learned is, even if you've had it, we don't know if that means you could still spread it to others. And beyond all of that, you've got to follow the protocols that have been laid out, right? The protocols are pretty clear. That's what you don't do what he did. And how you start is how you finish. So this is a great opportunity. This is your one shot for lesson learned. Because if there's anything else like this, then all of a sudden you're going to get on the list, right? And it's going to not be pretty for a while. I think you get one, but that's the one strike that I think that hopefully he learns from.
Yeah, and these are the things that I worried about with especially some of the younger guys that, you know, are going through this for the first, going through, and when I say this, I mean camp and, you know, welcome to the NFL, that they don't think big picture. And this was a moment of where he wasn't thinking big picture. He was just thinking about, oh, I'm fine, I'm going to go to a party. And this is where he has to have an understanding of rules are rules, and these are the rules that are in place to keep you and your teammates safe. And so I hope that I agree with what Teron said of it. It was probably a firm conversation, a learning moment, that now you've had that talk and you hope that he learns from it and you move on until he gives you a reason, you know, not to. But it's not a good look on him. And this is something that, you know, we're probably going to keep in, you know, top of mind for a while of, okay.
Oh, he's got to be on everybody's radar now.
Yeah. Absolutely.
He's firmly put himself on the radar now of, okay, so this guy didn't realize this was a bad idea to go to a college party in these times during football camp,
yeah,
during training camp. Really? Like, he didn't realize that this was a bad idea? Like, nothing registered of all the talks, you know, Mike Vrabel and John Robinson and the staffs over there have had with these guys. They're trying to pull off an NFL season with no bubble. Of all the talks they've talked to, you know, that they've had about a pandemic and a virus and being, you know, responsible, that didn't register with him, that could be a bad idea. I mean, that's a little bit alarming. I mean, to me, that's alarming. The fact that he didn't realize that didn't register. You know, I understand no harm, no foul in regular times, but in these times, this is a bad idea. I'm not going there. That the fact that that didn't cross his mind, to me, that's alarming. And like I said, I hope this is a one-off for him in really, really bad decisions. But he has now firmly put himself on the radar of the next time this comes up, people are going to start going, huh, so should the Titans be really concerned about Isaiah Wilson off the field?
Yeah. Doesn't it continue, though, to... I don't know if the word is amazed, surprise us, how many people, despite all of the continuous messaging that's the same, that you can't do these things, especially in the NFL where you're putting your whole team at risk. But just it's society in general that disregard all of the recommendations that have been made about large gatherings, parties, especially young people. There's just a lot of young people that don't see the need to do what they've been asked to do. Right? I mean, that's part of it. But it also illustrates, I'm sure Isaiah Wilson is not the only player that's going to have this happen to him. There's going to be a lot of other players in other leagues. It's already happened in baseball. It's gonna happen in football here, right?
Wait a minute. It already happened in Seattle. And look, that's an undrafted guy. And what happened? Shown the door. Goodbye. See you later. Yeah. I'm done.
Yeah. Unfortunately, guys, I think Isaiah Wilson will learn, because I'm sure that firm conversation was one that you don't want to do it again. Because, again, we've talked about it. Mike Vrabel doesn't come across as somebody you'd want to make mad. But – with all that said, I don't think this is not the last story by any means in the NFL that we're going to hear about this, unfortunately. No. And you said the word society, Willie. It's because you see it all around that people are just going, yeah, whatever. All right. Okay. Yeah. Put your masks and mandates in place, whatever. I'm going to the bar. And if places are open, then people are going. And so it's just, this is where we are in 2020. And I just think you're going to see more and more reports. Now, Darren, to your point, it depends on where you are on the totem pole there with the team, because if this is even if it's like a fourth or a fifth round pick, you're close to being we don't have time for this. We can't deal with this. So he's lucky in that sense that he's a first round pick. They're invested in him. They're not going to cut bait yet. This is you've used your one, your mulligan, don't do it again. But I don't think this is the last story that I hope it's the last story with the Titans, but I don't think this is the last story by any means of a player sneaking out and trying to go to a party or whatever.
Yeah, like I said, once again, sitting here on August 24th, I just don't know how this continues to be, you know, because if this was some guy that just had a, you know, whatever job, you know, nobody knew anything about it, just a regular job, whatever. And he just said, I don't care. Like, I really don't care. I do what? Fill in the blank, you know, whatever. Whatever he does, he's a landscaper, whatever. I don't care. That's one thing. But this is a professional athlete who was a first-round pick beginning his career. Like, how in the world could you honestly think that going to a college party or going to a party on a college campus in the middle of training camp in your rookie season as a first-round pick in the NFL, you're high profile, could think this is a good idea during these times? I wonder. I wonder if, gosh, is this – if this isn't registering now, are other things not going to register with Isaiah Wilson? I hope that he just had a real lapse in judgment. He put his whole team, organization, in jeopardy to do something like that. You know, like I said, if it's Joe Schmo out there with just any old job and that's just what they choose to do on Saturday because they don't care, that's one thing. But a person that's a high-profile person – to make that decision in these times, as we sit here in August, as we're almost 6 months into this, and you still don't get it? I don't know. I don't know how John Robinson feels today. My guess is he probably isn't sitting too well. He's probably doing a little pacing right now going, holy crap. Should I be really concerned about this pick? I hope this is there.
It's disappointing because he's already behind. He was already on the COVID list, which prevented him from getting the reps early. So he's already fighting to get behind. It looks more like a Nate Davis situation where it's going to be a while before he's ready to play. So, and then on top of that, you make that decision. So It's not good. It's not good. Once again, I'm hoping this becomes the teachable moment that has the light go on to say, this is what it's all about, being a professional, and you're going to have to be better if you want to make it. Because if this is a characteristic that lingers, it's going to keep him from getting to where he wants to go and where the team wants to go.
We'll come back. Eric Moses, the new track president at the Nashville Super Speedway. We will talk to him next to kick off the second hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase. ESPN 102.5, The Game.